All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. I gotta lead off here with something.
Okay.
I just can't believe how fast time flies.
Yeah?
Doesn't it feel like we were here like 5 minutes ago?
I know. It really does. Sometimes it's like, wait, did I do anything this week?
Right. And we got to the end of the show notes where you're supposed to, David and I are supposed to each type in like what we've been watching. And I'm like, what I've been watching, what, since like half an hour ago when we finished recording last week's episode?
Like, that's what it feels like.
Hasn't had any time to watch anything.
I know.
I mean, it's good. I guess it's a good, you know, it's just, I can't believe.
Time flies.
But on the other hand, Amy and I are having a thing.
Whoa.
It feels like time flies, but haven't we been in September for like...
Ever.
Forever?
Yeah. One of the shortest months, and it just feels like it's going...
September of 2019 will go down in history. You heard it here first. The Penn Cinema Podcast. September of 2019. The longest month in the history of months.
Whoa.
Yep, you heard
it
here first.
Put it on the books.
Yep. That's my prediction. It only has so many days, but... It's the days that count.
Only so many minutes in
only
those days.
Only so many minutes yeah. in those days.
So right off the top, we got to talk big news last week. Your book
blew
off the shelf. Flying.
Right, right.
Flying.
Right.
How's that going for you?
You know, thank you for asking. I couldn't be happier. I'm happy with that. I love how the book came out. I had a great book launch Thursday night at the mm-hmm. Highland Presbyterian Church. I had a great crowd of about 70, 75 people. Really had a lot of fun. And it was the first time I ever sort of, you know, spoke in public about my story. And, you know, it was a very personal night. I told some childhood stories, some high school stories. You know, shout out to all my old buddies. And, yeah, we had a really good time. And the best part, as always...
Yeah.
Is the questions and answers.
Right.
So when I get paid to speak for an hour and a half, I always speak for 45 minutes because I do Q&A like nobody's business. And I got paid a really nice compliment. Somebody said, the Q&A sounded like, she said, I actually thought for a minute that you had questions, like it sounded rehearsed, like because it sort of went well. So I do really well with that, mostly because I love – when you do question and answer, you know it's genuine. Mm-hmm. You know, because somebody just asked you that question, you know that at least that person in the room, that's what they want to know about. So it went really great, and we're doing Q&A, and it was really funny because all the questions were like a little bit serious, you know, and a little bit, you know, and there were some questions about how did you do this and, you know, what made you want to draw it, and because I did all my own illustrations, which is cool for the first time. And then we're sort of getting ready to wrap up a little bit, and it's sort of towards the end. And in my mind, I'm kind of like deciding, like, do I take one more question? Like, because I want to – I'm always trying to be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
The event was from 7 to 8:30. Now it's like 8:28, 8:29. There's this older guy. This old dude. This true story. This is a true story.
Well, you're not just making this one up.
I'm not employing the never let the truth get in the way of a good story. This is the truth.
Okay.
Old man front row raises his hand. I call on him and he says, why does my family love the Princess Bride so much? He goes on to explain, himself included, that they all love it. They watch it all the time. And he's like, we've watched it a million times. We love it every time. I can't wait to watch it again. Like, and he wanted me to explain to him, why is it so great?
I want to know what your response is.
Oh, my God. Well, my first response was the only logical response, which was to laugh and say, I don't know. You know, what's wrong with your family? Maybe they should get out more. I don't know. I made up, honestly, it was a total song and dance. It was, you know, an answer. I just pulled a bunch of stuff out of my butt about, you know, oh, the heroes are flawed, you know, but they stick to their goals. Like, I don't know. I made up a bunch of junk.
Did you drop the big news that we had this week about it?
No.
Well, this will lead right into our news section.
Please.
Right?
Yeah.
The
this audience, by the way, at my book launch.
Yeah.
This is the last thing I'll say about it. But this audience was not a podcast audience.
What's a podcast? Is that what it would have been?
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's who it would have been.
What kind of pod?
So it's a fishing show? Princess Bride news.
Princess Bride news. Was it Paramount or Sony? I forget. The production company came out and was like, hey, some big names are looking like they want to redo The Princess Bride. And then basically the world united. I mean, the climate change this week thing was pretty big, but the anti-Princess Bride remake thing I think was bigger.
Bigger. Yeah, and I want to be clear to our listeners, in case you had already started formulating some kind of hate email, I got nothing against Princess Bride.
Oh, right.
I love it. So I was completely in the camp of like, oh, you're going to remake Princess Bride?
Yeah. Why?
Are you going to remake Rocky?
Yeah.
I don't mean another sequel. I mean like start again.
Start again.
No,
yeah.
Right. There's some movies that cannot be remade.
Right.
And Princess Bride, rightly so, is one of them.
And I just love, like, the actors kind of came out in the... And Jamie Lee Curtis is married to the six-fingered man. She's like, why would you ever remake this? And Cary Elwes was basically the same. And I forget the actor. The one actor was like, we're totally against this, but you need to know that it's not us who want this because it said well-known actors or well-known people or whatever. Yeah. And it's like none of us are well-known anymore.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It's an important distinction.
Right. He's like, so don't blame it on us.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
So, right.
So you got some news out of Warner Brothers.
Yeah. This is like...
Are we turning this into a cooking show?
I mean, you'd think... Okay. People love Funko Pops.
What?
Funko Pops.
Funko Pops.
You know what they are?
No.
I know.
I feel like a complete loser. I can already tell that
I have them. Like, you used to have one, like, within view.
Okay.
Like, you had a Shazam one.
In
the box.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Those little, like, icon things.
Yep.
Little guys with the big heads.
Yep.
They're called Pops. They're made by a brand called Funko.
Perfect.
They're so popular that Warner Brothers wants to make a Funko Pop movie starring DC superheroes characters. I mean, it worked for Lego.
It worked for Lego Movie.
Playmobil.
Yeah.
Or Playmobil.
Playmobil.
This is ridiculous. I don't understand how these things are so popular. I went into FYE recently, which is a story upon itself, and that store is like 80% Funko Pops, and the people are just like crazy about them. Like, it was just like everyone in the store was at the Funko Pop wall.
Congratulations, David. You're old.
I did it.
And mom said I would never grow up.
Yeah. People said I'd never reach the maturity level. Look at me now.
How do you like me now?
What?
I'm having trouble reading where you at. Like, you think that so I get it that you're not in the Funko Pops.
I think this is a little ridiculous.
So are you on board with the movie or not?
Well, I'm simultaneously not on board, also wondering how it hadn't happened yet.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I think Lego Movie is absolutely the format, the blueprint, if you will, for doing that. And I don't see any reason why this wouldn't go on to just kill. And it doesn't have to be – like, we don't have to – this is the kind of movie where they could screw it up by trying to make it more than it needs to be. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be anything more than, like, Lego Batman.
It doesn't need to be a Porsche commercial.
It could be Funko. Right. I get it. It could be, like – what I'm looking over your shoulder. Is that Aquaman back there? It could be Funko Pop. Pick any of those characters.
Yeah,
I think it's a great idea. If you try to take it seriously and turn it into something meaningful and like, you know, oh, we're going to take ourselves really seriously, then it's going to be a complete disaster. But if you just try to have fun and Warner Brothers knows how to have a good time,
yeah,
then, you know, I think it's a great idea. I'm on board.
It could... I think if they do it right, it'll be a huge success. Because these things are so popular. I mean, it's just a giant commercial about, yeah, there you go. It's Shazam. Yeah. Yeah. So Penn's got a Shazam pop from the movie, not the Captain Marvel Shazam.
Yeah, I think, and looking at this guy, I would love to see a movie about this guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, if only they made a live action one.
Well, that'd be even better.
So anyway, moving on. What do you got for me?
Oh, my gosh. The Craft reboot.
Yeah. You remember The Craft?
Vaguely.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Do we care?
Not really. I mean, honestly, I read this and I was surprised it wasn't a, like, video on demand thing.
Yeah.
But I guess that movie was popular. Not me. But I guess.
Yeah.
But they cast the people, right?
Yeah.
Bunch of...
Lovie Simone, Zoe Luna, and Gideon Adlon have signed on to play the three teens.
Yeah.
Do you know those people?
I saw pictures.
Okay, yeah. Only because you were Googling this headline? Like
right.
Following? Yeah, no. So yeah. If I just read you those three names, you wouldn't know them.
I wouldn't know. I did see that they're praising it for being a more diverse cast than the original.
Okay.
So I'm down with that.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So I have a little news. It's not really hard-hitting news, but just sort of, I know people like to hear a little bit behind the scenes in the movie business.
Right.
So I'm developing a lot of interesting conversations with my new friends at Netflix.
Oh.
Surrounding The Irishman.
Mm.
My new friends at Netflix, we posted on our podcast Facebook page the new poster that came out.
Right. It had a date error. Well, not an error, but it didn't say what you wanted it to say.
Right. It didn't say what I wanted it to say.
Mm-hmm.
So in credit to Netflix, this is going to be like a good news, bad news story.
Right.
The good news is, in credit to Netflix, I sent them an email and I said, hey, this poster is really misleading because on the bottom left, it says in select theaters November 1st or 2nd or whatever date that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the right, it says Netflix on November 27th. Which is great, except that it should also say on Netflix and in additional select theaters, November 27th.
Mm.
That really bothered me because it makes it look like the only chance to see this movie is going to be November 2nd. People are going to get online, see November 2nd, not see Penn Cinema, and drive to Philly to watch this movie. So I sent this email to the studio saying, you know, hey, if you guys are taking this seriously... If you're taking the theatrical piece on November 27th seriously, then you should really correct the language in this poster. To their credit, I got an email back not only from the lady that I deal with, but also from the guy who's in charge of theatrical marketing.
Oh.
And he said, hey, we really appreciate your feedback. We're taking the theatrical release on 11/27 very seriously. And for that reason, you know, we really appreciate your feedback. So I thought that was great. It was a personal, very nice, you know, email.
Yeah.
Problem is, a few days later, four or five days later, I get to my email an official package from the Netflix marketing team with all the assets, the trailer, the digital pieces that you can put on your web page and your Facebook page and all. This is pretty normal. We get an email like this for most movies saying, here's this movie coming. Here's all the – they call them the digital marketing assets.
Mm-hmm.
Here's all the assets. And so I click on every single one of them. Says the exact same thing it said a week ago. So it's kind of like one of those things like, thank you for your feedback.
It's too late to change it.
Go F yourself.
Yeah.
I felt a little bit like, on the one hand, I was grateful that they would engage in the conversation, but I was very disappointed that it didn't lead anywhere.
Mm.
So whatever. Speaking of additional studio news, isn't it weird that Joker tickets aren't on sale yet?
Yeah. Okay. So what's up with that?
So Joker opens in like 5 minutes.
Right.
Tomorrow morning. Joker opens.
It's not. Well, in our time.
Right.
Time frame.
No, but seriously, it does open on October 4th, actually right. October 3rd,
2 weeks.
Which really is like not a full 2 weeks away.
Right.
And up until recently, there's been no news out of Warner Brothers on when tickets are going on sale. We were informed, and I think we announced, I'm pretty sure it's public, tickets go on sale Monday morning, so tomorrow morning. Monday, depending on when you're listening to this podcast, they either just went on sale or they're about to go on sale.
Wow.
So I just thought that was weird, and I'm not really – I'm not prepared to say it's a good idea or bad idea. It's just a distinctly different approach to holding tickets for so long.
Why do you think they're doing it? Because you know that it's a good movie.
Yes, I've seen it. It's a fantastic movie. I'm really not supposed to comment on it, so I'm just going to say I'm a huge fan of the movie.
Right.
But so my thinking is, I think they were just trying. My first thought, I originally thought, oh, they're letting it play out.
Okay.
And that made perfect sense. That's like a Disney trick. They won't market one movie while they're promoting another movie. So you wait for It Chapter 2 to open, and then you put tickets for Joker on sale, you know, a week later.
Yeah.
That would have made perfect sense. But that happened a number of weeks ago. That came and went. So my only remaining thought is that if they are trying to sort of create – it's not traditional supply and demand economics, but are they trying to create, you know, sort of some energy – around the tickets going on sale because, oh my God, it's in 2 weeks. I better get my tickets. You know, do they think that's adding energy to the effort of your typical moviegoer?
No, I could see that because I feel like in some ways that's been diminished significantly, like the hype over buying tickets early.
Right.
Except for Star Wars. I really feel in most cases – when you tell someone we got to get tickets ahead of time, like they just kind of throw it to the back of the head because it feels like it's forever away.
Right.
And they're like, oh, yeah, eventually. And it's like, no, you don't understand. Like,
hey.
Today. or we'll have bad seats. so maybe that's part of it. I could see that.
Yeah.
You know, like, because then it really will be more of a, like, we have to get the tickets now.
So I don't know. Anyway, that's the news from the studios this week.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, just when you thought the news couldn't get any bigger, right? I'm going to butcher this name like no other.
I'll take a shot at it.
Okay.
Fede.
Fede?
Fede.
Fede?
FedEx Alvarez? Without the X. Fede.
Fede? Alvarez. Is attached to produce a direct sequel to Toby Hopper's The Texas Chainsaw Massacre for Legendary Pictures.
Hoopers.
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 Hoopers. It's Toby though, right?
Yeah.
And not Toby.
Tob Hooper.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre for Legendary Pictures.
Top the Hopper.
Top the Hop.
I would love to be friends with a guy with that name.
Top the Hop?
Yeah, I mean, if you're friends with a guy named who spells his first name T-O-B-E and his last name is Hooper, which you just, you know, really quickly make Hopper, like you could have all kinds of fun nicknames for that kid.
And he would hate you.
Right. So, we'd be best friends.
You don't want to be best friends. You just want to have the guy in your circle. Not enough that he goes away when you make fun of him, though.
Right. Exactly.
I follow you. So... did you see the other Texas – do you know which Texas Chainsaw
Massacre? Yeah, I mean, I've watched them. Like, what a – you know, it's – to me, this news is like – when I read this headline, I think to myself, oh, this filmmaker had an idea for a way that he thought he could make a couple bucks.
Yeah.
You know, this to me is not significant movie news.
When I read this, I think, didn't they already make a sequel to that?
Right. Right.
That's what I'm more surprised about.
Although, I'll contradict myself a little bit. Are they, by them saying this is a direct sequel,
mm-hmm.
I think that's the significance.
Yeah. And so it's not just in the world of.
Right. They're trying to really go back and tie some. I don't know. Maybe I should go back and watch the first one.
Does anyone survive the first one?
I don't know.
I don't remember. Does Leatherface survive?
I mean, I don't know. No, but in every horror movie.
They always come back.
Yeah. They always come back.
Okay. All right.
All right. I got some news for you.
Hit me.
Mortal Kombat. What's up?
Mortal Kombat. Hey.
recorded soundtrack or David? You decide.
I'm available. Hit me up.
Voice work.
Yeah.
Podcast at PennCinema.com. So the new Mortal Kombat film has begun filming. Great.
Yeah. I didn't know we needed a new Mortal Kombat movie, but I want a new Mortal Kombat movie.
I'm so glad you finished that sentence that way, because I thought you were getting snooty on us.
No. This is like, this is going to be bad, but in all of the ways that I want it to be.
Right.
Yeah. So that's exciting news. And more exciting news, Rihanna, I know she's always on the tip of our tongues for what's coming
on
up.
On radar.
Next. Yeah, yep. We're just like, what's going on?
I check her fan page every day.
Every day. She confirmed she's not currently attached to play Poison Ivy in The Batman, starring Robert Pattinson, but she would like to be. So she said, hey, what's up? Come at me.
Do you think it's disrespectful to call him Pattinson?
No.
Okay.
I think it's more respectful to call him Rob Bat.
I don't even know what that is.
Just replace as much of his name with Bat as you can. Rob Bat, Bat and Bat.
Hey, Batty Bat Pattinson, what's up, Batty Bats?
See, it's just more and more respect. He wants to be Batman. He gets to take it all.
I feel like the more I get to know him and see his work, i.e. Lighthouse,
yeah,
the more I think we should take him seriously. And it's kind of like Tobby, Top the Hopper. You know, like, it's kind of like, you know, the kid. It's kind of like that scene in Goodfellas where Joe Pesci's like, I don't know if you heard, I don't shine shoes anymore. You've been away a long time. You might not know. I don't shine shoes. And then he beats the shit out of that guy and kills him.
Mm.
Right? And it's kind of like that same thing. Like, I feel like,
he's going to beat us up.
Somebody's going to tell Pattinson to go get the bat car. And he's going to be like, I don't know if you heard, I'm a serious actor. And he's going to like, okay, no, I'm sorry, I'm just kidding around. Go get the Batmobile. And then Pattinson turns around and beats the tar out of you.
Just me. Somehow you're not included.
No, this is you. This is all you.
Laughing on the side. I told him.
Like, go get him, Robert. Don't stand for that. Actually, I'm the De Niro character. I'm the De Niro character who looks at Robert Pattinson and says, like, you know, you're going to let him stand? You're going to let him say that? You're going to let him get away with that?
Wow.
Yeah.
As the world turns. My goodness, I didn't know I had this in my future.
So Robert Pattinson, it's so bad I can't remember. I try to say his name for real, and it comes out Pattinson.
It rolls off so easy, right?
Batty Bats.
Batty Bat. Rob Bat, Bat and Bat.
All of a sudden, now he's like a baseball. He's making baseball movies. One thing after another.
Don't limit him, man.
Go from the Batman to the Bat Boy. The American Baseball Story, the film we've always wanted.
Wow, I didn't know.
He could when he wraps up filming on the Batman, he could go make the Bat Boy, and nobody would have to change his nickname.
Yeah,
how convenient for you, David.
He might not even have to change costumes if he didn't want to. Real meta.
All right, so what would help us take him more seriously? The addition of Rihanna to his cast?
Yeah. Clearly, as Poison Ivy.
Oh, man.
I mean, that's what I've needed. And, I mean, she did so good in, what movie was that? Valerian.
Wow.
Remember Valerian?
You got there. No, I don't.
I did. I didn't always get there, but I got there. It's one of those movies I don't like to admit that I didn't hate.
You know what? You know, all right, I'm going to say something for real.
Okay.
You know who I would like to see?
I'm taking a drink of water here, so don't make me spit it all over you.
You know who I'd like to see take a shot in the Batman as Poison Ivy? Awkwafina.
Ooh.
She's likable, lovable, and she proved in The Farewell she can act.
Yeah. Ooh.
What's up?
I'd be down with that. I'm trying to think if there's even other, like, Catwoman, she could do Catwoman.
Yeah.
Or I mean,
are we expecting a Catwoman in the Batman?
I don't know who we're expecting. I mean, I wasn't expecting Poison Ivy, yeah. And then I saw the headline. I was like, whatever. I mean, I think it's all up in the air. But yeah. I could see her as honestly, she would have made a pretty cool Harley Quinn too. But I think now it's so much Robbie Margot, you can't get away from that. Yeah. So that's interesting.
Did you say Robbie Margot?
Yeah. Okay. Is that not her name?
I mean, I don't know. I'm no expert. I thought it was Margot Robbie.
Look,
I mean, I
sometimes things don't always come out the way they're supposed to. All right, and I just gender swapped, you know, her brother.
Yeah, why are we so caught up in labels,
right?
You know.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm Ketchum Ben. Take care. Party on.
All right, we got one last thing here.
This is just a little piece of news because they haven't revealed, but it is interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet you our listeners will be interested to know this. Mm. Genuinely, unlike the previous six night items. Will Ferrell of Anchorman fame.
Yeah.
And Ryan Reynolds of what?
Hobbs and Shaw
are teaming up to star in a musical reimagining of The Christmas Carol.
I am 110% on board for this.
What's interesting about this is that I just read you all the details that are available about it.
Yeah.
There's no timeline. There's no director. There's no nothing.
Right.
And what caught my eye in the news story that I read was that there's also no studio attached.
Really?
So they have the two of them have this project. You have to assume they're each going to be executive producers on it, and they're currently shopping it around to studios. I think it's great. I think it's been enough years that we're ready for another a fresh. With no disrespect to the previous, I think this is the kind of classic that can be remade.
Over
you know
and over
that
again,
can
yeah.
be you know not trying to improve on it, not trying to whatever, but just an interesting, beautiful, fun story. I love the fact that it's musical. I would hate it if it was going to be like an R-rated raunch comedy sort of making fun of.
Here's my suggestion. Ichabod's the main guy, right? Crane? Ichabod Crane?
No.
No.
Ichabod Crane is a headless hunt.
Oh, headless. Shoot. What's the name of the crotchety old guy?
Yeah, he's the crotchety old guy.
Yeah. I think that it should be played by Ryan Reynolds and not Will Ferrell. Because I feel like I've seen Will Ferrell in that role too many times that if this came up, I'd be like, meh. I mean, it's probably good, but meh. Mm. And then you have Will Ferrell play the ghosts or something like that. Because I think Ryan Reynolds' snark is on point right now, like never before.
Right.
And having the crotchety old man with that kind of snark would be awesome.
I think the old dude's name was Marley. No, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah.
Podcast at PennCinema.com if the last 10 seconds you were raging.
His former business partner is Jacob Marley. And the spirits are Christmas past, present, and yet to come.
Right.
Ichabod Crane.
Whatever. I'm the one making all the mistakes this week.
Yeah, this is great. This is the best show we've ever done.
Episode 35, the one where Penn just sits back and relaxes. All right, we got trailers this week. We got a lot of trailers this week.
And
good stuff.
Good stuff, and no awful ones. I mean, there's some that I liked better than others, but none of them are bad.
Right.
Well, there was one that was, in my mind, questionable. But
okay, I wonder if that's... we'll see. If it's the same one. All right, let's start off with Midway Trailer 2. First trailer we saw of this movie, I remember the two of us were like, okay, but doesn't look great. What did you think of Trailer 2?
I had the opposite experience.
Yeah, me too.
I thought the first trailer was... No, I'm saying I thought the first trailer was great, and I was like hooked, and I'm excited to see what comes. And the second trailer, I was like... Oh, so this is a massive war movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm still on board. I still think it looks great, but I wasn't blown away. I wasn't, like, I still don't really understand I guess I do a little bit, but I don't know. I didn't like the second trailer as much as the first trailer. That's why I'm trying to spit out.
I felt for the first part of the second trailer, I thought, well, this looks like a video game. Like, it doesn't look right. Like a modern movie.
Right.
And I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. But then, like, the later half of the trailer is all aerial fighting, like, scenes. And I'm like, you know what? If they do that really cool, that could be the meat and potatoes in the movie, and the rest of the stuff could be, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it's – right now, for me, it's on a very thin line of whether or not it could be a decent
right.
movie.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Nothing really about it makes me say, oh, yeah, as much as I'm just kind of like, I'm interested to see where it goes.
Right. I agree.
So.
Knives Out Trailer 2, on the other hand.
Oh. Yeah.
I was psyched. I loved this trailer.
I did, too. This trailer was so much better than the first one. The first one just, like, looked insane.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I want to know more, but it just was insane.
This, I think, is a better version of... Remember that movie we watched a few weeks ago?
Hide
and Go Seek?
Yeah.
I think it was
Ready
called,
or Not.
I think it was called Ready or Not.
Yeah.
In the show notes, I couldn't remember the name of the thing.
So who can't remember what now?
So I just wrote Hide and Go Seek. But I recovered.
Oh.
I mean,
I
before
never recovered.
We got on air in front of our millions, you know. God forbid, I've never made a mistake on this show.
I'm just going to cut out the recovery part.
He who holds the edit button. I love it. The Knives Out trailer 2 was amazing. I absolutely loved it. I thought, I'm giving it my trailer of the week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the moment where I knew it was my trailer of the week, because this show, Knives Out, looks so ridiculous. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure. I was like, what are we doing here? And then there was like a slow camera zooming in on Daniel Craig. And he's sitting in the armchair.
Yeah.
And there's like this real quiet moment in the trailer. And then real slowly he says, I suspect foul play.
Yeah, with a funky accent.
Right, with a funky accent. And I just died. I was like, this is the best movie ever. I can't wait to see it. The first trailer I was completely on board with. This just made me even like it more.
It sets the plot out a lot more, obviously, and in a good way.
Right.
Like, yeah.
And it does, I mean, we're joking around about not remembering the title, but doesn't this look like a better version of Ready or Not?
Yeah, but I mean, it's different.
Ready or Not's a horror movie. This is more like a sort of a mystery, would you say?
Yeah, this is like, I mean, the Orient Express is a classic story, but this reminds me of like what I wanted the trailer from the Orient Express, what I wanted the movie to actually be.
Yes.
The kind of like murder, whodunit murder mystery type thing. I think that's what really surprised me. And it's funny because it's like, I was watching this trailer with Chris Hall Productions, and he's like, you know, as much as I don't want to like it because of Rian Johnson, I want to watch it.
I just had an idea. I think this movie is going to be popular with the older crowd.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is weird because it's called Knives Out and, you know, whatever. But
yeah.
I just made a mental note here. I need to put this trailer in front of Downton Abbey.
Oh.
Because I'll bet you that crowd, if with the right marketing, they'll come out.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come out for it.
I agree. So moving on, we had an interesting trailer here. And I didn't have the time to really do enough research on this to see if it was a legit movie for theaters or not. It seemed to be marketed that way in what I saw.
Should we pause and talk about one of our listener feedbacks?
I say let's get to it later.
Get to that later.
Yeah, because I have more things about that I want to talk about. So this one's called The Mortuary Collection. And everything I saw made it look as if it was a theatrical release. But the production value made it look like it was a commercial for a series. Like, it was more than one, just one movie. But it said, you know, I think it said coming to theaters at the end. It doesn't appeal to me. It looks like a young adult goes to learn the workings of a mortuary. And they're like, every body has a story. And then with each body, it's like a haunting or some sort of supernatural death around that they learn about. What do you think?
The 70s called. They want their horror movie back. This movie looked ridiculous. Like, not in a fun, good way.
No, it didn't.
It just looked like it was... There was nothing about it that was new or different or interesting.
Yeah, I was kind of, I was bored.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, the premise is okay for like a horror of the week.
Yeah. I fast forwarded to see the end to see if it was going to, where it was being released.
And what did you find out?
Nothing. Same thing as you. It says in theaters coming soon.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
And I was like, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
All right. So hit me with one.
The Wave.
Okay.
This is also apparently like an indie movie. I would book it.
It doesn't have what I, the reason I put it on here is they were like, it's showing at festivals and it doesn't have a release, like, doesn't have anyone releasing it yet. So they're shopping it around.
Yeah.
This is my trailer of the week.
Okay, I want to change my mind because I agree with you. This was absolutely this trailer looked amazing. I would definitely book this movie at Penn Cinema. This is a great trailer. It takes place in Norway, 1905, and the premise is apparently pretty simple, which is, you know, this tsunami, this cliff falls apart, which causes a tsunami, which makes a 300-foot wave essentially swallow up this town. And I have no idea how the movie ends.
Oh, we watch different trailers, my friend.
Wow.
Actually, I'm going to remove my trailer of the week because I forgot about another one. But this is my runner-up for trailer of the week. Movie starring Justin Long.
What are you talking about?
The Wave.
There's another movie called The Wave.
Yeah.
A teaser indie movie.
Yeah. Called The Wave.
Does yours take place in Norway?
No, but
in 1905?
No.
With a wave?
He's a lawyer, and he goes to a party, and it's kind of like The Hangover. And he takes a drug, and he the next day he doesn't remember anything that happened. He keeps getting these flashes of, like, these crazy things. And he's trying to figure out what happened.
Wow.
We're going to have to find it for you.
We'll have to come back and report out. But the one that I watched.
Okay. Seemed pretty cool, though.
Was amazing.
Yeah, all right. So I need to see this and you need to see that.
The review, the headline, you know how they put little snippets in the trailer, like what the Los Angeles Times said about it, whatever. Uh-huh. The Los Angeles Times snippet said a catastrophe movie? What's the word?
Shoot, now I can't really think of a catastrophe
movie.
Disaster movie.
It says a disaster movie that puts Hollywood disaster movies to shame. And while I was watching the trailer, I was thinking the same thing. Like, this is – it looks like there's character development. It looks like there's drama.
Really?
But also, like, there's a gigantic 300-foot wave. Like, it looks exciting.
Wow.
I think it looks I think it's in the language is
– Norwegian.
Norwegian.
Norwegian,
is that their language?
Yeah, I guess.
So, but it has English subtitles.
Okay.
But, I thought it was amazing. And
that's your trailer of the week.
That's my
trailer. So I
got to
watch that. My thing, The Wave with Justin Long, is definitely worth it's checking out.
Okay.
But my actual trailer of the week is for James vs. Future Self.
All right, that's a good trailer.
I really liked this trailer because so the premise is...
Say this, I think I stepped on the name of the movie.
Sure, James vs. His Future Self. So a guy gets an Uber or whatever, and the guy in the front of the car pulls him off on the side of the road, and he's like, I'm you. From the future, and it looks like it's comical, but it's like a comedy. And his future self is like, look, in 12 years, you invent time travel, and we travel all over time, but in the pursuit of this, you miss out on all of these amazing things of life. So I'm here to stop you from pursuing time travel. And, I guess maybe he points out, like, a girl that he should fall in love with and all this stuff. But at the same time, the fact that he's done it and he's back in time makes the guy who had no ambition to learn about time travel now really into learning about time travel because he did it. So he wants to figure out how he did it. So it's kind of like a manifest destiny type thing. I don't know. I thought it looked really cool. The comedy in it. Was like subtle but funny.
Totally on point.
Yeah, totally on point. I'm totally on board for this. I don't know if it'll get, like, it's Canadian film. I don't know if it'll get a wide release, but it's definitely something worth checking out.
What's the name of the guy that plays his older self? He was in City Slickers.
Oh, yeah. I can never remember
his
name.
So good.
Yeah.
So good.
He always has long hair, too.
Yeah. I thought this trailer was wonderful. The discussions, it seems like some real mind-bending stuff,
mm-hmm.
not unlike our show. Yeah.
I love, at one part, he gets home and his future self's already in his house. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I forgot to tell you, in the future we have teleportation. The guy's like, what? He's like, no, I just snuck in the back.
I came in the back. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Secret Garden.
Okay. Classic story. Redone. What did you think?
I had to fight my cynical self. And once I was able to get myself centered to an open mind,
okay,
it looks good. I mean, it looks great. I was kind of like, oh, I don't know. I'm just a little cautious.
Here's my thing. It's got Clive Owen. What's this guy's name?
Yeah.
Colin Firth. And a lady, I can't remember her name.
She's from Downton Abbey, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
An older British lady.
Right. And then the young girl. But visually, great. Nothing about it made me want to watch the movie, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was okay. I mean, if you like The Secret Garden, you're probably going to want to watch this movie.
Right.
If you don't like The Secret Garden, there's probably nothing here to bring you into it. So that's all.
I guess the reason why I went into had that experience with that trailer is exactly that. I have no like connection to Secret Garden. Like I don't think I ever read the book.
Yeah.
You know, I don't.
Really. I barely remember it myself. I think I've seen one of the older movies. I probably read the book in school. I don't know.
Were you a good student? Did you read the books you were told to write?
Sometimes. I liked Shakespeare, so I read those. But then other ones, I kind of...
You want to hear a funny story about my school? So, sophomore year.
Uh-huh.
No. It might have been my second junior year. It was my second junior year.
Your second junior year.
Yeah, because I was at Suffield. And...
How many senior years?
Just the one. Senior year, I went right through. My second junior year, we had an English exam. And the whole class was these five books. Of course, I had read none, mm-hmm. zero. And then they give you these blue, remember those blue, like, pamphlets?
Yeah.
You write. So you have to pick, you get to the final exam, and it says pick, you know, two of the five books and that you want to report on and answer these three questions about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the idea, I think, was that you're supposed to write these rather lengthy essays. Right. So... I picked the one book. I forget what it was, but I knew like it was. It must have been like a famous enough book that I knew the premise without reading the book. You know, you know the story,
mm-hmm.
And so on the first page of the pamphlet book, I wrote my name, and then I flipped the page. And on the second page, I wrote the title of the book that I was going to report on, and then I flipped the page.
This is your second junior year.
This is my second junior year.
So you're really ballsy going for a third at this point.
This is one of my favorite stories, and this experience taught me more than my entire 5 years of high school combined.
Wow.
The story I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
So I wrote really large. I wrote every other line. I only wrote on the front of the pages. And I started to answer the first question about the first book. I wrote so large and used up so many pages with BS that I didn't really start to say anything, and I already needed a second pamphlet. So I wrote continued in next pamphlet, right?
Yeah.
And then I never turned in...
Another pamphlet?
I never turned in anything except for the first pamphlet, right? But the teacher, as I had hoped... must have assumed that he lost said pamphlets.
Oh, my word.
And I come home with a B+ on my English exam.
What's what? Wow.
Fake it till you make it, my friends.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
You remind me, have you gotten to the point in Arrested Development with Steve Holt?
Yes.
And they're like
Steve Holt.
He did senior year several times. They show his right. His picture. The first one says, I'm out of here, suckers. The next year it says, see you later, boys. And the third year it's like, study hard. Trust me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. That's fair.
So, okay. Moving on to our next trailer, Clemency.
Whew.
This, wow. I mean, do you think Oscar contender?
100% Oscar contender.
Best actress, maybe.
0% that I see this movie.
Oh, yeah.
This is way too heavy for me.
It looks intense.
I think she's a lock. She'll get Best Actress, and Joaquin Phoenix will get Best Actor, mm-hmm. and that's all you need to know about the Oscars this year.
It's about a warden, a death row warden, having to deal with being the death row warden, and how it affects her personal life. Yeah. And how it affects, like, having to meet these people.
The defense attorney screams at her, "I will continue fighting for him until that moment when you stick a needle in his arm."
Yeah.
And then she, like, gets the shivers. Oh, it's just...
She's getting the blame for it.
Oh, my gosh.
Even though, yeah.
This movie looks incredible. I don't think I have the emotional fortitude to watch it.
This is a movie you got to watch early in the morning.
Yeah.
When your emotions are just turning on.
Right.
And then you have the rest of the day to process.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I predict that I don't see this movie.
Okay. Take us into the next one.
Dark Waters. I feel like I've seen this movie before when they called it Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah, I thought that too. Also, I was like, it's funny because Mark Ruffalo looks so different.
Yeah.
Than what I've been used to seeing him as Bruce Banner.
Sure.
Crew cut, like,
yeah,
like he looks good.
Yeah,
this he looks like everyday schmuck.
Yeah,
Anne Hathaway's in it as well.
Yeah,
I do think that the acting looks really good. The story just felt like an older movie.
Yeah,
yeah. I was like, this feels like something I would have seen late 90s,
right? No, I totally agree.
Yeah,
and I get it. The premise is a little bit different because Aaron Brockovich is sort of, you know, she's a good guy who fights the underdog fight. He is a, you know, working for the climate problem, working for the oil company or chemical company. Mm-hmm. And then he has a change of conscience. And that's cool. You know, so it's a fresh, it's a different story. But I did not, this movie wants to come out right before Thanksgiving.
Ooh.
Come on.
Everyone's happy to be with their family. Hop in the car. Let's go see how the world is dying.
I'm really hoping that the release date is 11/22. I'm really hoping that's a limited release, so I don't want to play this around Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the heaviest hitter for me was when he's talking, like, is it possible that the people are drinking this? And he sees a little girl riding her bike, and she smiles, and her teeth are all, like, gross from the toxins.
Yeah.
I was like,
this movie needs to come out in like February.
Yeah.
March.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
One last trailer, The Rhythm Section.
Starring Blake Lively.
Starring, thank God, Blake Lively. I thought this was going to be a drum corps movie. I mean, I really did.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
well, I guess, yeah, The Rhythm Section, yeah.
I think, is this movie going to be a less good Atomic Blonde?
I had a hard time with this one.
I couldn't decide if I loved this movie and can't wait to see it, or if it was just like trying too hard to be Atomic Blonde.
That is 110% the way I felt. I was like, does this look good, or does it look like something I don't care about?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell. Jude Law's also in it.
I'm going to put this trailer in front of Downton Abbey. See what happens.
Yeah. This was a hard one. I don't know. Blake Lively doesn't really catch me, her acting. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's nothing I've really written home about.
Yeah.
I don't write home often, so. No.
All right.
Well, what was it like at the theaters this week? I heard nationwide there was a big surprise as the number one.
Yeah, but nobody at Penn Cinema was surprised.
Right, because we're all on top of it.
Because I've been saying for the last 2 weeks or more, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, that Downton Abbey would be the number one movie.
Yeah.
And I put it in all our biggest theaters, and I added as many extra shows as I could, and that's exactly how it played out. Downton Abbey, huge win. Easily blasts to the number one spot.
Big audience for that. And nowhere else to see it but in the theaters.
In the theaters.
That's right.
What's up?
So what about Rocky and Ad Astra? Not Rocky, Rambo.
They did all right. They did pretty well. Rambo surprised, you know, with what I would call a respectful opening weekend. I don't know what they're saying nationally, but here in Lancaster County, you know, it did pretty well. And same with Ad Astra.
Okay.
You know. What was funny about Downton Abbey is it is all old ladies. Like, we've never had more old ladies at one time in the theater since I can remember.
So basically,
It's been a very high maintenance weekend.
If that's your age demographic, time to hang out in the lobby. What's up, ladies?
Yeah, if you're a 75-year-old single man and you're listening to the Penn Cinema podcast. It's a
big part of our demographic.
Have I got an idea for you? And a job. You should come work here.
All right. We're reviewing Ad Astra this week.
Which is Latin for to the stars.
That's right. So I learned that at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, boy.
All right. So spoilers from here on out. We'll check the time codes when we're done talking about Ad Astra.
I think that's an appropriate place to start is the opening screen leads, you know, tells you the story about man reaching to the stars. Mm-hmm. But a quick Google search. Did you know I'm a huge – it's funny because I always make – I tell funny stories about what a bad student I am.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I loved and I studied and did really well in? Latin.
Really?
Yeah. And so anytime I see Latin, I always explore, you know, more of the roots. You know, I knew Ad Astra. I knew what that meant before the movie. But I did do a little Google search, and that's the shortened version of a Latin expression, which I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's actually four words. And what it translates to in English is, through great struggles, you get to the stars.
Okay. I like that.
And I thought that was really relevant to this movie. Like Ad Astra, like to the movie is to the stars, and he's going after greatness and great things, and in some ways he's going after some things, and in some ways he's chasing his dad, who was going after perhaps even bigger things, or yeah. At least he thought they were bigger things, and they both struggled incredible epic struggles, mm-hmm. you know, to reach their destination and reach their stars. So I thought that use of the Latin phrase, and I'm fine with shortening it for the sake of, you know, art. I thought, to me, that set the table for what I ended up thinking was an amazing movie that I absolutely adored.
I have a lot of thoughts on this movie.
Hit me.
I don't know how I feel about it yet. I may even need to watch it again. My initial opinion at the end of the movie was not positive. Was like... I didn't feel like it achieved what I was led to believe by the previews that it was going to achieve. The stakes, I said to someone, I said, the stakes didn't feel high. And they were like, well, you mean the stakes of the whole, everyone dying? I was like, okay, well, good point. But like, there wasn't like the challenges along the way didn't quite fit the thrill that I was expecting. But in retrospect, I felt like it was probably more real because it didn't have that. So
it wasn't at no point was it over the top.
Right. There are a lot of things. So saying that, as a sci-fi fan, this movie did so many cool things. And I want more of this universe. And it wasn't long into the movie where I was like, I really like this universe. I want to know more about the structure of it, what's going on. It's just like there was a lot more world building that could have not didn't need to be done, but could have been really interesting.
I know the first time you got hooked.
What's that?
Was when he was getting briefed and they were like, this mission has to remain highly classified, so you're going to have to go to the moon commercial.
Yeah, that was right,
like,
about...
It was just so routine and sort of casual, like flying commercial to the moon was just routine.
Yeah, that whole trip from Earth to the moon, that's exactly where... Because it was like, wait a minute, okay. I had so many questions. Like, this is a commercial flight because they showed, like, him and, like, regular people getting on this plane or the rocket. But then the rocket flew up and it still had... Like, I was expecting space travel to be super futuristic.
Right.
But it was only kind of futuristic, which is... What I love about this movie is it was not – the spacesuits weren't over the top crazy. The spaceships weren't over the top crazy. But like the commercial flight rockets up and then the fuel modules still pop off the side. And I thought to myself, this is a commercial flight, which means they do these on the regular. There's a lot of those things just floating up out there or like coming back down to – like that's – Like, didn't we come up with a way to be less wasteful? then, like, that's the kind of thing that was going through my head. Like, I was all these questions.
Yeah.
But then inside the ship, she was like, he was like, I want a blanket. And she's like, oh, cool. Let's just charge it to your
car. $125.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I don't have it.
Well, I think he beeped his finger or something. Whatever.
No, he sent it back.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
He was like a flash of disappointment because he was like, oh, I don't have $125. I'll just sit here like a sucker.
Like a sucker, yeah. I thought, and then when it got to the moon, it wasn't like only a bit of the spaceship, like the capsule,
right,
went back, and it still landed. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't like a full that stuff. So cool. Like, I loved this future world where it was like just a little bit beyond what we have. Like, they kind of perfected it enough to make things commercial, but not enough to make it utilitarian.
Right.
I thought that was really cool. And then when they're going to the military base, they're like, well, we got to go across this land, but pirates on the moon. They don't explain, like, what the pirates are, like, really. They say it's like a land dispute, but, like, you don't know what their goals are. Like, what, you don't. I was really into that. Like, I thought pirates were going to come back.
That, just to jump on that scene, that was where I did have a shred of, that was the first time in the movie that I thought to myself, like, they're glossing over some stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so for example, that was a pretty incredible chase scene. And then all of a sudden, what, they knock him over the edge of the cliff and he floats, you know, and that was cinematically, that was incredible and awesome to watch. Did you watch this in IMAX?
I did not.
Oh, I watched it. I highly recommend, if you're listening, it is a great movie for IMAX. But anyway, so he crashes in and gets sort of thrown off the edge of this cliff, which at first you think that's obviously the end of him, other than the fact that he's the main character, so you know it's not. But he goes flying, and then because there's no gravity, or there's some kind of
less gravity,
he floats. And what was disappointing to me was, he floats and then sort of has like a little bit of a rough landing, but after that, he bounces on a few rocks and motors into the headquarters.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like,
I got away.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, well, why didn't they did all that. Why wouldn't they chase him? That's the thing. I didn't understand what the pirates were after, because they like basically not blew them up, but they shot them and they kind of exploded. Yeah. It's like, what are you going to get out of this?
Yeah, it was weird.
But then, and then the guy that he was with was kind of having a semi-heart attack or whatever. I like that aspect of like, oh, he's sick. He can't fly anymore.
Yeah, and I like that character in general. I like how they killed him off kind of like Obi-Wan, you know.
Yeah.
But again, that's another good example of what you bring up, which is like, I think that would have been interesting. I could imagine that the filmmakers, it was probably a frustrating movie to make because they could have easily made a four-hour movie.
Yeah.
With all the interesting characters and backstories, you know, that they didn't have time to explore. It would have been really cool.
It was almost comical when he stowaways onto the other ship. How they all die. Like kind of like... Like, the one girl, the rockets kick in, she slams her face, cracks her skull. The other guy... The other two guys suffocate because they accidentally shoot a canister. Yeah. I'm not sure what.
Yeah.
And
I didn't have a problem with that. I didn't think it was comical.
Well, I mean, almost. It was just kind of like, oh, okay. They're all dead now. But, and then he has a long journey. Was it like 70-some days?
79 days.
Yeah, to get to Neptune. So here's the thing. The trailers led you to believe that his father was experimenting with some sort of thing that could destroy us all, like a disease, or his father was really malicious. And very early on, they just kind of lead on that, like, no, like, they were far and away, and they all kind of went a little crazo from being far from home. And he was just, he was, like, so determined for what he was doing, anyone who was against him, he just killed. And it was like, well, they had an antimatter reactor, and something's wrong with it, so we have to blow it up. Not like an experiment, it was just like, the reactor's broken.
Yeah, it was a little too simple.
Yeah, that's
like once
that's,
he got there.
It was too simple. He got there, and to me the most emotional part of the movie though was when he got to his dad, and his dad's like, I didn't care about you or your mom or anyone.
Right.
Like, that's why I took this mission, because I just never cared about you, and that like really hit home. At the same time, he tries to save him, and I'm like, well, he also killed all these people. Like, are you forgetting that he's a little, like, do you want really want to then take him on a ship for 70 some days by yourself?
Right.
Like, he's probably going to kill you too.
How about you cuff him?
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. Something. Any kind of restraint. So, I don't know. And then it's just like, they've solved the problem and he goes back. And
that was my second problem.
Yeah.
Time for this week's segment of What's Your Problem?
With Penn.
Penn. I'm still not entirely clear on the name of that segment. I feel like
it goes both ways.
We have creative differences here.
What's Your Problem? With Penn.
With Penn.
Like starring Penn.
Right, right, right.
And What's Your Problem?
With Penn.
With Penn.
Right, get in line, take a number.
Right.
Right.
It's double meaning.
Right, okay. That's cute. Very clever.
Yeah. It works both. That's why it works so well.
I love it. That was my only legitimate problem with this movie.
Yeah.
Was when he parts way with, he lets his dad float off in it, and you know, and he's floating around, he's about to give up, and then he remembers all the great reasons he has to live.
Right.
Which is wonderful and very moving. And so he's like, "You know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to go home. I'm going to make it back to the people who I love." So he floats over to the space station, peels a panel off the top of the spinny thing, which so far I'm on board, you know, and uses the spinny thing to propel himself towards his own rocket.
Mm-hmm.
But were you okay with him using that little shield? Like, he's going through like some kind of a hailstorm.
Well, he goes through the rings
with all the floating rocks and debris.
Yeah.
And he's got this little tin panel that like saves him from the rocks and debris.
Well, I guess that panel was made to survive that on the ship.
Yeah, I guess so.
That part makes sense. He did tear it off really easy, though.
Well, he unhooked it.
Oh, okay. I don't remember. But, yeah. I mean, it's not in the atmosphere, so I guess those things work differently. Like, I would, like, in an atmosphere, it would have curled, like,
right.
The debris would have curled around, but not in an atmosphere, it would just bounce away from him.
Yeah.
But I did think, I was like, would that slow him down?
I just had a lot of questions about that.
And then it was at that point that I remembered how far away things are.
Right.
And, like, how long it takes us to send stuff to Mars. Like, years. And he's at Neptune. And I was thinking, how long is it going to take? Because he has to use the, like, explosion to propel himself.
Right.
Sublight. Like, that's years to get back.
I thought that was cool, though.
Well, I mean, it's cool, but to Earth. Like, why didn't he go back to Mars?
Because Mars is all screwed up. It's an underground military bunker.
What are they going
to
do?
Plus, they tried to lock him up in Mars. Remember, they tried to put him in the isolation booth?
Good point.
You know, he doesn't have friends on Mars.
Except for that one girl, yeah.
He ain't got no friends.
Anyway, I guess as a sci-fi fan, it's slow. It's very 2001 in its pacing.
Right. That was one of my takeaways from it, was that I loved it. I thought it was awesome. I did not think it had broad commercial appeal.
Right.
Like I said to Drew this morning, there's no 22-year-old guy walking out of Ad Astra texting his buddy going, "Oh my God, you got to see this movie."
Right.
You know?
Right.
I'm sure there were people who appreciated it and loved it as a great film, but the younger audience is going to be like, "What? Whatever."
I think this is one of those movies that I could watch at least one more time and probably appreciate more for the sci-fi part of it. But it's not one I'm telling people, like, you need to go see.
I could watch it one more time, except that I'll probably be watching Rambo instead.
Well, there you have it. So I'm going to say that I'm not on board.
Okay, I'm on board.
Okay, so we're 50-50 on this one. Broken board. Okay. Listener feedback and questions.
Love it.
We got some good ones this week.
Yeah, we do. We have the best listeners.
So the mystery gobble. He remembers how we were talking about Friends coming in.
Yep.
And he hit us up and he's like, "Yo, Seinfeld, it's coming to Netflix.
What's up?"
I'm totally on board with that.
Didn't Netflix spend like $1 jillion to get it?
Yeah.
And isn't it taking like 4 years? Isn't this like happening in 2 years?
Is it taking that long? I didn't think so. It was taking that long. And I know that they're losing The Office and they're losing Friends, and it's like they need something to keep people around. I think this is just it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if it's anywhere else. Maybe it's on Hulu. I don't know.
It will be fun. It will be really fun. I mean, I watch Seinfeld all the time, just like everybody does. But it will be fun to be able to start at square one and watch the first episode and, you know, roll right through.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I know that Seinfeld is different from, like, for example, Arrested Development, where there's sort of a every episode continues the plot forward.
Right.
Seinfeld's not that kind of show. It's a sitcom. And but still, it'll be fun to sort of watch the characters change over the seasons.
And they do have kind of like building jokes that go on and stuff.
Yeah.
But, okay, then Pirate Dave hit us up. And we alluded to this thing a little bit earlier.
Yeah, you got something to say about this.
Yeah. But he hit us with our trailers. He said, first off, Devil's Revenge was video on demand.
Duh.
Yeah.
Dummy.
Dave,
Pirate Dave is great because for a lot of reasons. But what I love about his emails is he says it's so nice. Like, a lesser guy would write in and be like, you guys are the two biggest morons, you know. How did you not know this was video on demand?
Right.
And he also has great subject lines. Like, first of all, the guy crafts a great email.
Yeah.
And more recently, and now I don't have it in front of me, but the subject line for this email about the trailers just had me rolling. I was dying. It was like, what's your problem with Penn's problem with, like, whatever. It was a play on that joke, but it was so funny.
Well, he says that if we're going to be wishy-washy about what we review, and we say it's got to be a theatrical release, and then we hit these video on demands, that our criteria should be whether or not the movie looks quality and not whether or not it's in the theater.
I think that's a fair point.
Yeah. Yeah, but I also kind of like reviewing the crap ones because it's something to talk about. If we reviewed every trailer, it would just be insane.
Right.
It's kind of hard to say because we are talking about, I don't know, preserving the theatrical experience and all that kind of jazz. So it's definitely something that I keep in mind when putting the list of trailers together and that kind of thing. But again, sometimes like I just don't get enough of the research in to find out what it is and if I made a mistake or whatever.
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel like part of this is my fault because I'm always sort of down on like like saying that it's video on demand, you know.
Video?
Video. I was trying to decide if I was going to say video or VOD, so I said video. Trying to decide if it was video or not. Like, I feel like I have an attitude problem with that, which I think over the last few weeks, I think my position has evolved.
Yeah.
Right in front of your very ears.
Yeah. Especially with, you know, the hoopla behind The Irishman.
The Irishman leads the way, but also, you know, just trying to be open-minded and seeing Netflix and Hulu for what they are, you know. And so I feel like the combination of, you know, my growing, evolving, you know, opinions about video.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can try to, you know, focus the trailers on good, interesting trailers. And then also, like last week, what was that one that we did, was just all
Devil's Revenge. Yeah.
That was, I just love reviewing the shit ones.
Yeah. So here's what I wanted to add on to this. That's kind of off on a tangent of it. Yesterday I went to a birthday party, which involved us going to Movie Tavern in Exton. And I was thinking about this conversation because the pre-roll was the program they called Newvie. Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay. It's like they have like a host and they talk about different things.
Sounds awful.
It's horrible. Everything that they talked about was not a theatrical release. They did Amazon series. They did YouTube series. I think it was a Netflix movie. And it was all like, it was like the trailer and then talking about behind the scenes stuff. And then they'd have some commercials in the trailer.
Yeah.
And then it was like, this is all before the trailer started. So if you got there earlier or whatever. And in this situation, because you eat dinner there, it's like you're kind of trapped watching this thing. And I thought that was really interesting that their marketing plan was away from the theater. Like none of the stuff in this Newvie thing had to do with upcoming film. Theatrical film that was all about
interesting
online stuff.
Yeah.
So
It's I feel a little bit, I don't want to be overdramatic about it, but I feel a little bit like it's a changing landscape.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, we're all, I think everybody's trying to figure out what the deal is. And but I don't know. My takeaway from Dave's good point was being video doesn't automatically disqualify it.
Right. Yeah.
And if it's a good trailer for a good movie that happens to be coming out online, great.
There you go. Cool.
There's another Netflix movie that was recently announced. I was invited to the trade screening of it. It's like Laundromat or something.
I don't know if I know that one.
I just started thinking, like, I wonder how many more big releases are going to come out from Netflix that there's going to be pressure to play.
Mm.
It'd just be interesting. I don't know. I'm saying.
And now that now that you're playing The Irishman, they're going to be on you.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Interesting. All right.
Roland Smoker.
What's up?
One of the best iTunes reviews of all time.
Of all time.
Earned himself two tickets to IMAX, which he took us up on, and he went with his lovely wife and saw Ad Astra, which is Latin for To the Stars.
What?
Yeah.
Who would have said?
I learned it at the Penn Cinema podcast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They're international.
Yeah.
So what's up?
Pinkies out.
Pinkies out. So my man, Roland, came in and... he had some questions for me about IMAX, and he said it was his wife's first time coming to IMAX outside of, like, the old days when it was just educational films.
Mm-hmm.
So his question was, can any movie be IMAX? Is it just a normal film shown bigger? Are there other things going on? What makes film an IMAX film? And then we'll talk about, he had some employment questions. Yeah. There's really not enough time to just give, like, a succinct answer to all those questions, but sometime, like, around the 90s and early 2000s. What do you call the 2000s? The aughts?
The aughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love when you say that. Sometime in that ballpark, IMAX got the bright idea to show, I think it was Spider-Man.
Oh.
They were still pretty much all educational places, but they showed Spider-Man, and they showed, I want to say maybe Harry Potter was one of the earliest. But they enjoyed some really great commercial releases, and the leadership at IMAX decided to start expanding into feature films.
Okay.
And that's how we got to where we're at today. Your question about can any movie be made, can any movie be shown in IMAX? And it depends on what you really mean. If you mean can any movie be made into an IMAX movie, then the answer is yes. And there's a studio, a lab up in Toronto, which I visited with some of my management team. And they literally go frame by frame and correct and enhance a proprietary system to enhance the movie to make it IMAX. Or what's really good, and you see this with Christopher Nolan movies, is the movie is shot using IMAX cameras. So IMAX also has proprietary cameras, which is how they make their incredible, and they still make incredible documentaries. The footage that they get out in nature is just mind-blowing.
And it has to do with the frame rate and the rate aspect ratio and stuff, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I think maybe resolution is a lot higher.
Yeah.
So I know that some movies, like Transformers and some Christopher Nolan stuff, will have only these days they'll do a whole movie in IMAX, but before it was like 5 minutes of it was filmed.
The Dark Knight.
Yeah, it was filmed in IMAX special. So if you saw it in IMAX, that part of the film had a different view than the rest of it.
But just a little bit different feel.
Feel.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. So for a movie to legitimately be an IMAX movie, it needs to be either made with IMAX cameras, like a Christopher Nolan film, or at least partially made with IMAX cameras, and then it needs to go to Toronto and be converted to IMAX, and then it becomes an IMAX movie. But you can also show, so if you mean can a movie be shown in IMAX, do you mean can I take a regular movie and show it in the IMAX auditorium? The answer is yes. What's funny about that is the digital cinema projectors in IMAX are programmed so that when I do something like that, there's a special slide that comes up that I can't, it has to come up, and it says the following feature is not an IMAX presentation. And it, like, makes sure the audience knows that, like, this is some fake business right here.
Right.
So And then your second question, is it just a normal film shown larger, or are there other things going on? There's a ton going on. It's all proprietary stuff from IMAX. The images, the biggest thing, I think, is that the level of brightness, the amount of light that is hitting the screen is at least double a normal picture.
And the sound system's different,
And
too?
The sound system's different. There's a ton going on. Yeah, the sound system is dramatically simpler. There's only four speakers in that whole auditorium.
Wow.
There are four massive speakers that are engineered in such a way that it does a better job than over here in the main building. We have wonderful sound, and we have like 32 speakers, I think, per auditorium.
Wow.
Or maybe it's 16. It's a lot. But the sound in IMAX with just four massive speakers is bigger and better.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, that's interesting. And then, you know, the employment question is just kind of – it's funny. Nobody ever asked me before. Do you have IMAX employees or regular employees at Penn Cinema? They're all the same. So you get a shift and you get – maybe today you're assigned over at IMAX. A lot of people call it working the island because once the IMAX movie starts, if you're the – you know, we don't keep four kids over there while nothing's happening. So, you know – somebody's over there cleaning up the concession stand, restocking the concession stand, doing their thing. But it does feel pretty isolated. So I know sometimes we call it work in the island.
And these days it's not like it was where you had a projectionist doing stuff. It's all automated these days. So it's not as big of a deal.
Right, right. And then with the higher, Roland also asked about higher ticket price. Do we get more? No, we get the same percentage, but it's a higher
bigger amount.
Bigger dollar amount because it's a bigger number. Yeah.
So cool. Well, thanks, Roland, for writing in, giving us lots of things to talk about. Penn's exhausted at this point, I can tell.
It's a fascinating subject, and it's the kind of thing like you could literally talk for an hour,
right?
You know, about all the specifics.
You're just keeping it succinct. Yeah.
Now, the other interesting thing that came in this week from listeners' notes.
Mm-hmm.
The shadow. The shadow knows.
Oh, my goodness.
And we have a review this week from the shadow. You know, David.
Yeah.
David.
Me?
You're not the only guy that can offer a critical commentary about a movie.
I'm cranking my pinky out.
You're not the only person with opinions and film reviews.
What?
So this week we have a guest film review.
Okay,
comes
from
to
the
us
shadow.
From the shadow, because as previously mentioned, the shadow knows. And there's a independent faith-based movie called Right Before Your Eyes, currently playing at Ephrata, although not for long, so.
Hurry up.
Hurry up. And anyway, we previously reported on this podcast that Black Bumper Becky can be seen in this movie.
Oh.
In the train sequence.
Whoa.
Yeah. She's seen from the back of her head. We got a write-in from the shadow who says, Black Bumper Becky's performance as head number three on the train is amazing.
Whoa!
So congratulations, Becky, on obviously, you know, is a huge, you've arrived.
Yeah, yeah.
You've broken through.
Yeah, I mean, at a front page of Entertainment Weekly, but it's only the back of her head.
When Christopher Nolan needs the back of a head on a train in his next film, I know who he's calling.
Wow, that's awesome. So moving on to what we were doing this week. We both mentioned it feels like no time has passed, but I think we both did a small amount of things. What did you get into?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No, that's not right. I was super busy with the book launch we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, and just feel like for some reason I had a lot going on this week. So I reverted, Amy's really into The Good Place.
Okay.
So we're sort of watching that as like our comfort TV right now.
Okay.
So no, that's pretty much all I've been into.
I never got into that.
It's good. It's really funny.
Yeah?
You do have to, it's one of those, like, don't just jump in. Like, you got to go to season one, episode one.
Kind of roll in slow.
Yeah, yeah. And you got to like Ted Danson. If you don't like Ted Danson or Kristen Bell, don't bother because it's really them.
All I ever think of when I see him is there was an ad for Becker. It was, you get to see Ted Danson. Laugh the night away. So I've been reading the book Babylon's Ashes by James S.A. Corey. It's one of the...
It's not pronounced Babylon?
Babylon, sorry. Babylon's a chaise. It's I think book 6 in the Expanse series. And it's really good. I've been enjoying it, and we're going to review it on the Orbital Sword, and that's all I have to say about that. So,
okay, Forrest Gump. I had a guy ask me a question during the questions and answers at my book launch.
Yeah.
And he said, he was like an older guy, so I think maybe he was the grandpa in question.
Yeah.
But he said, if you were a grandpa and you were going to take your, you were going to watch a movie with your grandchildren,
mm-hmm.
would you watch Chariots of Fire or Forrest Gump?
Forrest
Gump. Obviously Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Right?
They'd be bored out of their minds.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I said, if you want to have a discussion about which is the better movie or more meaningful or, you know,
that's different.
Cinematography or, right, that's a totally different question. But if you're asking what are you going to watch with your grandkids, it's got to be Forrest Gump.
Right.
Unless your grandkids are like little tiny David Moultons running around with their fingers out.
Pinkies out.
I picture like a little 5-year-old David Moulton with a beard.
That's about when it came in. All right, so next week, Rambo.
Okay.
Last Blood, right?
Great.
All right.
Yeah.
We're in. So hit us back, podcast@penncinema.com, if you want to tell us what you thought about Rambo or any other interesting questions.
Send us a review.
Yeah. Don't forget, hit us up on iTunes, 5-star review. We've still got that going.
That's a standing offer. If you can make, you know, I really like to laugh. I could use a laugh.
You could use a laugh.
You know, I'm just saying. So hit me up and give it a shot.
If you can make Penn laugh with your review,
yep.
Some tickets for you.
You could be watching IMAX movies for free, like our friend Roland.
That's right. Also, we have a lot of discussion that goes on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thePennCinemaPodcast.
That's where we put up the Irishman poster.
That's right. So once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care. Party on. Were you trying to get in on that?
I was.
All right.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's a cut.